welcome you all to another episode of Eyes Wide Shut. Thank you all for clicking this video. If you like what you hear, you enjoy the content, I strongly suggest you like, comment, and subscribe, and also share. We want to share information. Today we are going to be discussing the pagan origins of Christmas, and should Christians be celebrating Christmas? Oh, this is a touchy subject time after time. And guys, I'm just going to be honest. It is time for us to come out of the world, grow some muscles, and come out of the world. We cannot come to the Lord as our old selves, with our old spirit, with our old mind. We have to be renewed. The word says we are to come to the Lord as little children, meaning we have to filter out everything that we knew of the world, all that negative information, all of those negative habits, all that smoking, drinking, porn, celebrating holidays, cursing, riffraff, whatever it is. We are to filter all of that out. And we are to insert new knowledge and new ways by the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to lead and to guide us. We are to humble ourselves. So without further ado, we're going to get into this video. And I ask you all, please do your own research. My job here is to strictly present you all with the knowledge and information that I have come across. I'm doing what I can for the kingdom. And in return, I just ask that you all listen, come into this video cast, this podcast with an open mind, a humble spirit, put your spiritual glasses on and do your own research. Do not take my word for granted. I am just a humble servant before the Lord, trying to fight for a spot in the kingdom. Let's get it. For many years, Christmas and other major holidays, such as Easter, Halloween, have been portrayed as having a Christian origin. But is this true? Is it possible that we have been deceived into believing that pagan customs and traditions of the past have their roots in the Christian church? Is it possible that many well-known Christian holidays or so-called holy days have their origins in something or someone other than Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life? Are innocent believers given life to ancient satanic practices? In other words, check it, are many faithful but misinformed Christians paying homage to false gods by honoring pagan holidays and customs, but at the same time thinking they are pleasing the true and living God? Now again, as we continue in this presentation, let us do so with open minds. While most Christian holidays have many advocates in support of them, surely this does not make them right or authentic. Again and again, history has proven that even if the majority supports something, that does not necessarily make the thing right. Now, as always, the true and sincere children of the Lord are required to be open-minded and humble under all circumstances, including instances like this, where there may be brought in contact with views that may differ from their own. None of us can afford to be prejudiced or proud, but instead, in harmony with the instructions of our beloved Master, we should seek to always display the humility, faith, and willingness to learn as little children. You can find that in Matthew 18, verse 3. Now, before we continue, again, I encourage you all, ask the Holy Spirit for leadership and guidance, knowledge and wisdom. Ask him in every step of what you do, of how you should live your life. It is required. Okay. The Bible speaks of ancient people of Babel, which are the Babylonians, as having a great leader by the name of Nimrod. Now, Nimrod was one of the ringleaders, if not the main ringleader, in the apostasy that led to the building of the Tower of Babel, which was eventually destroyed by God. Of this notorious man, the scriptures declare, "And Cush, one of Noah's grandsons, begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, in the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calneh, in the land of Shinar." Now you can find that scripture in Genesis 10, verses 8 through 10. In the light of the Hebrew word used in the original translation, The phrase "before the Lord" in reference to Nimrod in the above text is really to be understood as meaning against the Lord. In other words, Nimrod was not really a mighty hunter in God's favor or a friend of God, but instead the grandson of Ham was a proud and sinful man whose mighty prowess and skills enabled him to achieve great things. Nimrod became more and more famous among the people. He was highly regarded by the people who separated themselves from the true God and settled in the plains of Shinar. There he later established many different kingdoms, including Babylon. Nimrod's accomplishments led him to choose his own will above that of God. Thus, he became a great rebel against the Creator, even in a public or open manner. This notorious leader, Nimrod, had a wife by the name of Semiramis. Semiramis was a beautiful woman, but she was very vile and evil-minded like her husband, Nimrod. The influence of these two people, Nimrod and Semiramis, led many people to turn away from the good example of Shem, which Shem is one of the three sons of Noah. Thus, many people fell into this great apostasy. Now, so just imagine this. Growing up in school, we had the gothic individuals, they said the gothic table, and nowadays I believe they call it emo. You have the people that sit at the emo table. They wear these weird jewelry, skeletons, weird clothes. It's dark, dark makeup. Just imagine if those group of individuals had their own city, their own kingdom. What kind of rules and holidays and feasts that they would bring to the world for the people to celebrate, for their followers? Of course, it's not going to be of Christ. But anyways, let's get back into the text. As a result of this apostasy, many pagan customs and traditions were introduced. In Babylon, temples called ziggurats were erected for idol worship. Through these means, many pagan customs were nurtured and promoted far and wide. Some of these practices are still observed today, including the recognition of December 25th, Christmas, as a special day. Yet most of these practices date as far back as the time following the fall of the Tower of Babel. Now, who was really born on December 25th? When Nimrod, the founder of Babylon, died, Semiramis told the people that her husband's spirit had taken possession of the sun. She encouraged the people to pay homage to her husband by worshiping the sun. Thus began the evil practice of sun worship. Later on, when Semiramis gave birth to a son by the name of Tammuz, she hid her form of lying to the people. She told them that she was miraculously overshadowed by the spirit of her dead husband, Nimrod, and it was in this way she was able to bring forth this so-called son of God. Later on, when Semiramis gave birth to a son by the name of Tammuz, she hid her form of living by lying to the people. She told them that she was miraculously overshadowed by the spirit of her dead husband, Nimrod, and it was in this way she was able to bring forth this so-called son of God. Now, she did this because you can imagine Nimrod was king of the earth. He had his own kingdom and kingdoms, millions of followers. And when he died, of course, she wanted to keep that power. Why? Because they were going to go off to follow other gods, possibly. And they would forget their kingdom, forget their laws, forget their ordinances, forget their feasts and holidays, what you call. So she said, oh, hey, guess what, guys? I'm pregnant. And Nimrod came back to life through his spirit, and he impregnated me. Semiramis also declared that her son Tammuz was in actuality the return or rebirth of her husband Nimrod. Hence, though, through this teaching, the doctrine of reincarnation was born. Guys, this is where reincarnation came from, where we get that idea from, reincarnation. She brought this to life. And since Tammuz was born on December 25th, this day was highly honored and recognized by Nimrod's supporters. So guys, if you right now pause this video and Google up Tammuz born on December 25th, it will pop up. and you will be able to see for yourself.
But by remaining passive or ignorant, we give consent to these occult activities by continuing to celebrate them. All worldly festivals have occult roots and originate with worshiping pagan gods. All of them, Halloween, Christmas, Valentine's Day. God gave us feast days to celebrate. Actually, he gave us 7. In order to understand God, we must understand that he is the God of the Hebrews, and the Gentiles were grafted into the family of God by Jesus. The Last Supper was the Passover meal, one of the spring feasts, and Jesus resurrected on the Feast of First Fruits, so the feast days are definitely very important to God. It's my opinion that God would never send his son in the flesh to be born and celebrated on the day that every Luciferian god is worshipped and celebrated as, you know, the sun god. This is a fallacy to confuse the one true God with the false gods. Jesus Christ is not based on any of the sun gods. Nimrod, Mithra, Horus. This brother-manic lie has infiltrated culture and suggests that Jesus is just another sun god. But nothing predates the Creator. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Christ and God did not begin with organized Christianity. The Creator predates creation, and all false religions are man-made creations. God's feast days, found in Leviticus 23, 1-44, are his high holy days. God has not appointed any other days as feast days, especially not the satanic sacrifice days of the fallen, of which the winter solstice festivals are massive ones. Hanukkah is not one of God's 7 feast days. Don't exchange one false holiday for another. Christmas is very different from God's feasts. Not celebrating any occult holidays might kick on a common programmed response, which is, wait, Jehovah's Witnesses don't celebrate holidays? Therefore, you must be a Jehovah's Witness! Please remember that they are part of the establishment and just another religion on the buffet of Luciferianism. In fact, they're a very important one. European occultist Knights Templar brother of the York Rite Charles Taze Russell, founder of the Jehovah's Witness Watchtower Society, was a very high-ranking Rosicrucian. This fact is on display on his pyramid gravestone, complete with the Rosicrucian cross and crown. This symbol is equivalent to the 33rd degree in the Scottish Rite and the highest degree in the York Rite. It is laughable that the Jehovah's Witnesses feel the need to defend him by saying, "Nah, he's not a brother." But he shares the exact same philosophies, symbols, and language as the brothers do. When something is protested too much, I definitely look into it further. Remember that all occult rites take plenty of oaths of secrecy under penalty of a violent death. Back to Christmas. Where did all the rituals and traditions come from? Why do people associate Jesus with December 25th? A little research into the roots of Christmas will reveal an astounding amount of sun worship and Saturn worship that can be traced all the way back to Babylon, to Nimrod and his son Tammuz, whom Nimrod's wife claimed was the reincarnation of Nimrod. He was the builder of the Tower of Babel and claimed he was the sun god, and his wife was the moon goddess. Tammuz is mentioned in the Bible in Ezekiel 8:14. Nimrod is known in other cultures as Gilgamesh, Baal, Melkart, Adonis, Eshmun-Demuzi, Dionysus, Bacchus, Orion, Mithra, Apollo, Ra, Tammuz, Osiris, Kronos, Drogon, Odin,
2 hours later,
Jupiter, Shamash, Atlas, Zeus, Hermes.
Where's the snow? Christmas is tomorrow and there's still no snow.
Well, you know, Arthur, no one actually knows what day Jesus was born on. The holiday is in December, probably because that's when the Romans celebrated the winter solstice. And most likely they adopted that tradition from the Babylonians.
I don't care! I still want snow!
A few of the pagan celebrations around the time of the winter solstice include Brumalia, Saturnalia, and Sol Invictus, which is the worship of Mithra, the unconquered sun. Saturnalia was a week-long hedonistic festival full of food and drinks in honor of Kronos, Saturn, which usually began December 17 and ended around the solstice. Fertility rites were performed at temples to Saturn, including human sacrifices. This has never stopped. Brother Man reteaches the Hiramic legend of Hiram Abiff, and the story goes, Saturn, the old man who lives at the North Pole and brings with him to the children of men a sprig of evergreen, like a Christmas tree, is familiar to the little folks under the name of Santa Claus, for he brings each winter the gift of a new year. Saturn is commonly mentioned by various Brother Man authors. Santa is an occult name for Saturn, and Saturn is an occult name for Satan. The name Saturn has been used for Satan for centuries. The ritual sacrifices to Moloch were worship to Saturn. The mystery religions teach that man's soul or spirit is the powdered bones of Saturn. Saturn is the reason for the season, and few cultures knew how to party like the Romans. Saturnalia was a festival of general debauchery and craziness that happened around the winter solstice. This week-long party, which began on December 17, was held in honor of the god Saturn, and involved human sacrifice, which is now commemorated with human-shaped gingerbread cookies. It also involved giving gifts and lots of feasts and food and wine and stuff like that. Saturn is also known as Cronos, who is usually depicted eating babies. Let's look at the meanings behind some of the traditions of Christmas. Like the Christmas tree, the sacred tree of the winter gods. Author William Walsh wrote, "An old Babylonish fable told of an evergreen tree which sprang out of a dead tree stump. The old stump symbolized the dead Nimrod. The new evergreen tree symbolized that Nimrod had come to life again in Tammuz. Among the Druids, the oak was sacred. Among the Egyptians, it was the palm. And in Rome, it was the fir, which was decorated with red berries during the Saturnalia." Druids believed the spirit of their gods lived in trees. Most ancient pagans recognized that the tree represented Nimrod incarnated into Tammuz. Pagans also looked upon the tree as a phallic symbol. The importance of trees is commonly found in pagan philosophy and brought into homes and decorated. This observance was adopted and painted with a Christian veneer by the Catholic Church in the 300s AD. Christianity's past is a long and sordid one because the Catholic Church basically hijacked the truth and made it conform to worldly standards. Pagans were seen as a good way to get the church to grow during the Roman Empire, and the Catholic Church incorporated lots of pagan traditions to make it more appealing to the pagans, or the new converts. Little by little, their traditions became part of the religion of the Catholic Church. Christmas is a rebranding of the pagan Yule and Roman Saturnalia. There's nothing Christian about Christmas. Just because the Catholic Church did something does not mean that it in any way resembles Christ and his teachings. To be considered a Christian, one must follow the teachings of Christ, right?
Where do we get December 25th from then? From the pagan holiday called Saturnalia, which actually predates Christianity itself. Saturnalia was a week-long holiday that ran from December 17th through December 25th. During Roman times, they honored the god Saturn, which included human sacrifice, intoxication, naked women caroling, and rape, and much more.
The pagans had something called Saturnalia, and it was a time of lawlessness because all the laws were suspended, and a bunch of singers were actually wandered the streets naked singing. And then they had orgies, sexual orgies. It was a mass thing. All this business about mistletoe, pagan. Christmas trees, pagan. Giving out gifts, pagan. Every bit of it is pagan. Every single bit of it is pagan. We've Christianized.
How many babies would they have had to have had to please Horus? Well, quite a few, I would imagine. Well, how many months does it take a baby? Because people want to be prepared. They want to plan ahead. So that brings us back 9 months prior to Christmas. Where? Easter. We celebrate Easter for what? The resurrection. Coincidentally, Easter, which is also another god, Ishtar, the god of war and fertility, which is why there's rabbits and eggs, was actually a pagan holiday that was observed by basically having an orgy. So everybody got together on Easter, had a lot of sex, so 9 months later there'd be a lot of babies. And coincidentally, when all those babies were born, old Horus was there December 25th, wanting you to slice them open and sacrifice the babies to him. And then here we are, thousands of years later, celebrating baby Jesus's birthday on Christmas, when in reality on Christmas was a sacrificial day where millions of babies were slaughtered. And that is what I think.
Sorry, sir, I did not want to do this, but for your salvation, I have to.
So Christmas, otherwise known as Christmas, also means to merrily dismiss Jesus as Christ.
Y'all, it all started with a snake in a tree.
A snake in a tree.
A snake in a tree.
Nimrod is the Babylonian sun god married to Ishtar. His wife and mother had their son Tammuz on December 25th. The Catholics want you to believe that that's Mary and that's baby Jesus, and reality is that's Easter, Ishtar, Semiramis, and that's Tammuz, Nimrod, incarnated. Not really incarnated, but she wants you to believe that because she wants you to believe that it's Nimrod, right? She's the fertility god, and ironically, together they practice, children sacrificing. So because they're fertility gods, the tree is a symbolism of their fertility, and it's a mocking of Yeshua. It's a lot to process, and there's so much more to the story. Please do your research.
Christians talking about they're going to put the Christ back in Christmas. How are you going to put the Christ back in Christmas when Christ was never in Christmas? That's another delusion, have people thinking that they're doing something right. Trying to have people rationalize in their mind for the reason that they're about to go do this ritual. Well, maybe I could just say it's the worship of Christ. No, it's not the worship of Christ. It has nothing to do with Christ, and it's self-evident. When you look on the TV, you're going to see Santa Claus. You're going to see Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. You're going to see a snowman. What does any of that have to do with Christ? Like it was mentioned before, Constantine mixed paganism in with Christianity. And eventually, paganism overtook the whole doctrine of Christianity. It flooded the Christian doctrine until there was no more remains of the actual origin of the Christian doctrine. That's essentially what happened. And now you left doing satanic worship. That's how clever Satan is. He done slithered his way all the way into Christianity, and nobody would ever take the time to look and say, you know what, let me find you. Everybody looking for Satan somewhere else. Maybe Satan over here. When Satan got his home base and headquarters right in Christianity, he got everybody deceived.
Revelations 12 verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world.
When he operating right there in Christianity.
Peace, peace, family. I'm here in the Galleria Mall, Buffalo, New York, with
Jennifer
and
Alex.
And we're doing an interview in regards to Christmas and, you know, why people celebrate Christmas. And so with that being said, each of you or either one of you, if you would just explain what Christmas means to you and why you celebrate it.
Oh, well, it's my favorite holiday, and I just love celebrating it with my family every year.
Shit. Same thing as ever.
He in it for the presents. Okay, a part of this interview and a part of what I like to do is I believe in the evolution of humanity and consciousness and all of that type of stuff. And so in regards to Christmas, I just wanted to ask you guys, are you familiar with, let's say, the history of Christmas or the origins of Christmas?
The birth of Jesus Christ.
Shit. Okay, well, I would kind of say I agree with you, but if you want to, you can flip through this notebook. And so what I've done is I went and researched some Christmas facts that I'll go over with you. And so this right here is a deity titled Krampus. Have you ever heard of Krampus?
No.
Okay, Krampus is a Germanic and European deity out of their folklores, as you can see right here. So I went and did the research for you. It's factual. I didn't Photoshop this. This is an actual festival that's celebrated in Europe and Germany. This is on December 25th, where the original Santa Claus, which was considered Satan, was a demonic deity which came and basically kidnapped children. And so as we go through this, we can do this very quickly. All right, this deity was based off of the Baphomet. As you can see here, it looks just like the Baphomet. Now, you can see in the original sack of this deity, instead of presents, it was children in there. And so what this deity would do around this time is come and steal the children. So like even we see that Christmas tree over there, cameraman, if you want to pan and get that Christmas tree. So even we see that Christmas tree over there, that's actually symbolic to a phallus. So you got the phallus here, the ribbons and the ornaments on the tree is supposed to symbolize male sperm, and then the balls on the tree are supposed to symbolize the testicles. So the sitting on Santa Claus' lap and asking Santa Claus for gifts and presents is actually a pedophilic ritual, which comes from a Roman celebration that was known as Saturnalia, where the rich Roman people would give gifts to the parents and kids so that they can basically have sex with their kids. So running through this, here's a actual painting of the Roman Saturnalia day, so you know I'm not making this stuff up.
No note. Therefore, this date, December 25th, was observed in honor of the birth of Tammuz long before Christianity existed, and that it was not until many centuries later this pagan custom was Christianized as being the birth of Jesus Christ, or Christmas Day. Now, in the book of Ezekiel, this was the first that I have heard about Tammuz. And he was taking Ezekiel through the temple saying, "Look, son of man, they're crying and weeping for Tammuz. Look, these are the followers of Christ, the so-called followers of Christ in the temple. They were weeping and crying for Tammuz." You know, also in Ezekiel, it talks about them worshiping the sun. It talks about sun god worship. All you all have to do is read. It's there. But anyway, let's get back to the text. So now we have Christmas. We have Santa Claus. We have reindeer. Let's tap into that. So the first appearance of Santa's reindeer. Now, while characters resembling Santa Claus would circulate throughout the world in the centuries that followed, the notion of a sleigh pulled by reindeer wouldn't become prominent until the 19th century. It was at this time that America and England were both experiencing a renaissance of Christmas celebrations after a period of puritanical opposition to the holiday. Now, Washington Irving referred Santa Claus riding over the tops of the trees in the self-same wagon. Now, in 1812, with no reference to steeds pulling the wagon. 9 years later, the first known association between reindeer and Santa Claus appeared in an anonymous poem entitled "A New Year Present." The unnamed deer are mentioned briefly and only in a single line. The name of the author remained anonymous, but the poem's publisher revealed that the author had learned of reindeer thanks to his mother passing down indigenous stories of the creatures. 2 years later, the mythology of the reindeer would be expanded. The poem, "The Night Before Christmas," was written by Professor Clement Clark Moore. Originally written as a story to entertain his daughters, Moore was initially hesitant to submit it to a publisher out of concern that it was too silly. In fact, he kept his authorship of the poem a secret for decades out of concern that it would besmirch his reputation as a professor of ancient languages. But the poem would soon become a hit, and these 8 reindeer would remain the recognized members of Santa Claus' crew for well over a century. Now, all of a sudden, we're going to tap into Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Now, while other authors would try to establish their own mythology surrounding Santa Claus' reindeer, it would take over a century for another reindeer to be added to the roster and recognized on a global level. Now, despite being named as the most famous reindeer of all in the song named after him, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was actually the result of a savvy advertising campaign. Now, soda manufacturer Coca-Cola found great success in the 1920s by releasing holiday ads that featured jolly old Saint Nick drinking their brand of soda. Now, Chicago department store Montgomery Ward saw the potential of a Christmas campaign for drumming up business, and they commissioned copywriter Robert L. May to create a character who could feature in free coloring books that were given out to kids. Now, the character May designed worked partly because it came from personal experience. With May drawing from his own experience being bullied as a child to envision a lonely reindeer whose unique glowing nose offered a way to save Christmas. The character, along with the poems that Ward wrote about him, became a major hit. In the decades that followed, the character would receive a song, a movie, and countless different types of merchandise. Far from being just the holiday spokesperson for a local department store, Rudolph actually became the most famous reindeer of all. Despite attempts to introduce members of Rudolph's family, including a brother named Rusty and a son called Robbie, none have reached nearly the level of fame as Rudolph. The true origin of Santa's reindeer is a mix of ancient mythology and savvy marketing, but it's the inherent power of these creatures that managed to continue to hold the world's imagination. The Romans also celebrated Christmas. They called it Saturnalia. Now, Saturnalia is held in mid-December. It is an ancient Roman pagan festival honoring the agriculture god Saturn, which is also another name for the sun god Saturnus, guys. Now, because of when the holiday occurred near the winter solstice, Saturnalia celebrations are the source of many of the traditions we now associate with Christmas, such as wreaths, candles, feasting, and gift giving. Now, what is Saturnalia, you all may ask? Now, Saturnalia, the most popular holiday on the ancient Roman calendar, derived from older farming-related rituals of midwinter and the winter solstice, especially the practice of offering gifts or sacrifices to the gods during the winter sowing seasons. Now, the pagan celebration of Saturn, the Roman god of agriculture and time, began as a single day, but by the late Republic, it had expanded to a week-long festival beginning December 17th. Now, on the Julian calendar, which the Romans used at the time, the winter solstice fell on December 25th. Now, the Romans celebrated Saturnalia in many different ways. During Saturnalia, work and businesses came to a halt. Schools and courts of law closed, and the normal social patterns were suspended. So, social patterns, meaning the way you conduct yourselves in society, how a woman should act, how a man should act, how a child should act. But they said the normal social patterns were suspended. Now, people decorated their homes with wreaths and other greenery and shed their traditional togas in favor of colorful clothes known as synthesis. Now, even enslaved people did not have to work during Saturnalia, but were allowed to participate in the festivities. In some cases, they sat at the head of the table while their masters served them. Instead of working, Romans spent Saturnalia gambling, singing, playing music, feasting, socializing, and giving each other gifts. Wax taper candles called Ceri were common gifts during Saturnalia to signify light returning after the solstice. Now, on the last day of Saturnalia celebrations, known as the Sigillaria, many Romans gave their friend and loved one small terracotta figurines known as the Sigillaria, which may have referred back to older celebrations involving human sacrifice. Guys, that is another name for the gingerbread men. If you think about it, you bake the gingerbread men, the little gingerbread men, you bake them, you eat them. It just said right here that they may have referred to back to older celebration involving human sacrifice. Let's discuss. Now, there also was a temple of Saturn. So, the temple of Saturn and other Saturnalia customs, constructed in the 4th century AD to replace an earlier temple. The temple of Saturn in Rome served as the ceremonial center of later Saturnalia celebrations. So this is where they celebrated. They built these temples all over, and it was used for their worship, Saturnalia festivals, sacrifices, you name it. They had it there in the festival. On the first day of the festivities, a young pig would often be publicly sacrificed at the temple, which was located in the northwest corner of the Roman Forum. So how opposite of that? You know, in the Bible, they sacrifice lambs, goats, ox. But here, they sacrificed a young pig. Everything gods do. Everything that the Lord does, that God does, Satan does the opposite and makes it dark and tries to make a mockery out of it. But let's get back into the text. The cult statue of Saturn in the temple traditionally had woolen bonds tied around his feet, but during Saturnalia, these bonds were loosened to symbolize the god's liberation. Now let's discuss how Saturnalia led to Christmas. Now, thanks to the Roman Emperor's conquest in Britain and the rest of Europe from the 2nd century BC to the 4th century AD, and their suppression of older seasonal rites practiced by the Celts and other groups, today's Western cultures derive many of their traditional celebrations of midwinter from Saturnalia. Now, the Christian holiday of Christmas especially owes many of its traditions to the Roman festival, including the time of year Christmas is celebrated. The Bible does not give a date for Jesus' birth. In fact, some theologians have concluded he was probably born in spring, as suggested by references to shepherds and sheep in the field. But by the 4th century AD, Western Christian churches settled on celebrating Christmas on December 25th, which allowed them to incorporate the holiday with Saturnalia and other popular pagan midwinter traditions. Wow. So, there you have it. This is just a brief background. Guys, there also, let me give you all scripture. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Romans 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Also, 1 John, verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? So if you truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you truly are a follower of Christ, if you truly are a Christian, ask yourself, is the way that I'm living, the things that I think about, the things that I celebrate, is it holy? And what does God say about it? You all have to remember, there were pagan gods back then and still today. The world was getting so dark. That's why Jesus came back. He had to walk the earth. That's why he came to this earth in form of a man, to give us his laws, his ordinances, the way we should think, the way we should conduct ourselves, the way we should treat people, the things we should be celebrating, why we should get rid of idol worship, why we should not conform to the world. That is why, guys. And somehow we find ourselves calling ourselves a follower of Christ, and we still cannot let go of the attachments of the world. I celebrated Christmas when I was of the world. I did a lot of things when I was of the world. But now that I'm a follower of Christ, everything that I once did of the world, I have to let it go and become a child of God and learn everything all over again in a new way, in a new holy way. I have to do that. And I hold pastors also accountable because they continue these traditions. I'm not sure if they're not reading the Bible or doing research, but churches have carried this on for so long. And I have to ask myself, do they not know? Or are they truly led by the Holy Spirit? Or what is leading them? Are they just misled? Is a pastor going to come out and say, hey guys, I have to admit the way that I was teaching you all was wrong. There are some things that we should not be celebrating, some rituals we should not be participating in. If a pastor says that, I can respect it. But to keep this going on when the last days they said knowledge will be increased and you're just overlooking it and you're feeding this to the flock and you're the head of the flock, that's unacceptable. But guys, I love you all. And I ask you all, let the Holy Spirit do the guiding, the leading, the teaching. Do your own research. Pray to the Lord. Submit yourselves. Let's get rid of these old practices. And peace and love. And may God continue to strengthen you, your family, and protect you all on and off the roads. In Jesus' name, amen.